I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. And in fact, I'm just going to tell you a story of another baptism. A baptism from the Bible in Acts chapter 8. And just kind of explore the question a bit more. What's this all about? Why are we here? What are we doing today? What have these guys just been doing? And so in Acts chapter 8, you can turn there and follow along. I'm going to try and tell the story. So I may not quite, I might paraphrase a little bit as we go through. But Acts chapter 6 from verse 26, we hear of a man called Philip. And Philip was an evangelist, and he'd been preaching to the Samaritans in Samaria. He'd been preaching the gospel there. He'd seen lots of people come to know Jesus. And an angel of the Lord said to him, go south to the desert road. Go to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. And he started out and he went there, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, a man from Ethiopia, a very important official in the court of the Kandake, the queen of the Ethiopians. And this Ethiopian eunuch, he'd gone to Jerusalem to worship, and now he was on his way home. I'm sure the road didn't look exactly like that, but there we go. He was on his way home, and he was reading in his chariot. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. So Philip runs over there, and as he runs over there, he hears the man reading, and he hears that he's reading from the book of Isaiah, which probably wasn't all bound up in a book like that at that point, but there we are. That is actually Isaiah. There we are. He was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And as Philip gets near to him, he asks him the question, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian said, well, how can I unless someone explains it to me? And so as he's sitting in the chariot, he invites Philip to come and sit in the chariot with him. And they're going along the road, and we see this is the passage that the eunuch was reading. This is from Isaiah 53. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And as they read those verses, the eunuch asked Philip this question. Who is the prophet talking about? Is this Isaiah talking about what's going to happen to himself? Or is he talking about someone else? And we get this brilliant verse. Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. But they carried on. As they carried on along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, look, here is water. There could be some water on the screen, but I'm not seeing it yet. There's water down there. It's under the covers. Here is water. There we go. It's a demonstrative river. Who can stand in the way of my being baptized? He gave orders to stop the chariot. And so they stop. He's asked this question. Philip and the eunuch, they go down into the river together, and there Philip baptizes him. And when they came out of the water, we get this really fascinating thing that happens when they come out of the water. The Spirit takes Philip away, and the Ethiopian never sees him again. But the story concludes beautifully, but the Ethiopian, he didn't see Philip again, but he went away rejoicing. Beautiful, beautiful story. And really, I'm just going to say three very quick things from this story about baptism. What's it all about? Firstly, baptism is in response to the good news. In the middle of this story, we see that Philip told him the good news about Jesus. It's beautiful. The eunuch was reading from Isaiah 53, and he asked this very pertinent question, who is Isaiah talking about? He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. Who is he talking about? And we get the answer. Philip started here and told him the good news about Jesus. Isaiah's talking about Jesus. He's talking about Jesus, the Son of God, God the Son, who came down to earth, and he was led like a sheep to the slaughter. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter. That's who Isaiah is talking about. And Philip must have gone on from there to tell the Ethiopian, well, that's who Isaiah was talking about. But why was Jesus the Son of God, God the Son who came to earth, was born as a baby, lived a perfect life? Why was he being led like a sheep to the slaughter? Well, actually, he wouldn't have had to go very far to find an answer. If he'd gone a couple of verses further back in Isaiah 53, he would have found these words in Isaiah 53, verse 5. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him, on Jesus, on the very Son of God, the iniquity of us all. Who was it? It was Jesus who went like a sheep to the slaughter. Why? Because of our sin. Because of all that we have ever done wrong, every evil thought, every evil deed, everything we failed to do that we should do, all of our turning away from God and going in a different direction, like sheep who've gone astray. Gone astray, away from God, our Creator, the one who is above all, and we've got no way back. We deserve punishment, we deserve death, and yet Jesus died in our place. He died in our place for our sin, so that we can know forgiveness, so that we can know God and have eternal life with him. In Acts chapter 2, Peter got up in front of a crowd. Peter was one of Jesus' first followers, preached to a massive crowd this good news, that Jesus has died and has risen from the dead, and he is the way, the truth, and the life. And they say, what should we do? And Peter tells them, repent and be baptized. Joe said in his testimony earlier on, all who believe in him and are baptized will be saved, quoting from Mark chapter 16, and also played out of what Paul says to the Philippian jailer in Acts 16. That's what it is. Believe this message. Believe what Jesus has done, and therefore turn from your sin. Repent, say sorry, but more, turn back to God. Acknowledge that you're a sheep gone astray, and believe and be baptized. It's a response to this glorious good news. It's why we baptize believers. We don't christen or baptize babies. It's by faith. It's why it's so good to hear testimonies and so beautiful to hear Barry's story just now. 86 years ago, I was taken to be christened, and I didn't know anything of what was going on. And yet today, on my own free will, I'm being baptized. So beautiful. Believe, repent, and be baptized. Very quickly. Secondly, it's a demonstration of the good news. Dan mentioned this earlier. But from this story, what do we see when they find water? Philip and the eunuch go down into the water. The word baptize itself in the Greek, or the Greek word, means something like to dip or to immerse or to submerge. I'm sure John Allen once told me a story about what a Greek would do with a sponge when he was washing his car. He'd baptize his sponge. Then it'd be soaking wet and he'd wash his car. Sorry, that's an aside. I go down into the water. Beautiful words in Romans chapter 6. Explain that in some way. Romans 6 and verse 3. Paul talking to the Romans, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Jesus was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. It's describing what it means to be saved, to die to your old life, and to be raised to new life in Christ. died from that. I have turned away from it, and now I'm risen to new life in Christ. And baptism so beautifully demonstrates this. I've been buried with him, and now I'm raised to life, new life with Christ. Such a picture of what has happened. As we heard all those testimonies, this is what's happened in my life, and now I'm declaring it, I'm showing this is what's happened to me. Jesus, he has forgiven me, he has changed me, I have died with him and now I'm raised with him. That's the good news. And that is what baptism is all about. Demonstrating, showing, displaying, I have died with him and now I'm raised with him to new life. Thirdly and finally, it's a response to the good news. It's a demonstration of the good news. Let's rejoice. It is good news. It's beautiful the way this story ends. An amazing thing we could, if we have more time looking at this passage, Philip suddenly in the spirit seems to just disappear. He's gone. He's taken elsewhere. The Ethiopian doesn't see him again, but he goes away rejoicing. It's a beautiful time. And I pray this for you guys who've just been baptized. I don't know if you're all back in the room as yet. May you know deeply the joy of the Lord, particularly today. This is a beautiful, wonderful day, a glorious day. We've been celebrating to now, and even as we've gathered round, recognizing this is a celebration moment. As family together, this is an amazing day. It's good news. It's joyful news. It's a response to the good news. It's a demonstration of the good news. We can rejoice because it's good news. I just want to leave you with a question. The eunuch asked this question in the middle of the story. What can stand in the way of my being baptized? That's a question for all of us today. Maybe you have been baptized, maybe you haven't. Maybe you're here today, one thing that might stand in the way, you don't know Jesus yet. You haven't responded to this glorious good news yet. Well, my call to you is you can know him today. You can come in repentance to him today and know the good news that all of these guys who've been baptized have just testified to. But actually, there might be different ones of us here, yet you do know him. You have been saved, whatever age you might be. We're baptizing today. I think people who are still yet to turn 10, one of them maybe, and someone who's a lot older than that. I'm not going to go there. And everyone in between. You might have believed in him. You've been saved, but yet you haven't been baptized yet. Well, can I gently ask you, why not? Beth, I loved your testimony. Beth was nervous. Maybe you're nervous too. And yet in the midst of that, you still found time to put in a pretty quality pun. Beth decided it was time to take the plunge. Maybe that's the day for you too. If that's you, I'd love to speak to you afterwards. Jesus loves you. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on with you. Come and speak to us. We'd love for you to get baptized. I'm going to close there and let's pray.